Welcome to Grazing Hell, the one and only podcast made by a cow. And today I've got a wonderful guest with wonderful hair. If you're listening, you're missing out on how amazing she looks right now. Shania.
Hi.
Shanspear. Yes. Welcome. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining the
Thank
cow.
Thank you for having me. Can I meet the cow today or?
She's here. She's just doing some gardening.
Oh, how does she do it with the hooves?
Or, yeah. Oh, she's pretty handy. I mean, how does she do the editing with the hooves? You know, like,
wow.
She's good. She's crafty like that.
She's better than me in every like feasible way.
And same here. But yeah, thank you so much for coming. For anyone, in case they're not familiar with your work, do you want to just tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yes, I am the self-proclaimed pop cult princess of YouTube. I talk a lot about pop culture things, whether that be social media trends or cultural phenomenons. And I have a very big habit of cringing my audience out in the process.
Have you got an example of that that comes to mind?
Oh, God. I have admitted to reading Voldemort fan fiction in my youth. That has followed me.
At least you admit it, though, because we all did stuff like that, but we just don't admit it.
I admit it, and I think I regret it at the same time. I also admit it to listening to Obsessed by Addison Rae. That didn't go over well at all.
You know what? I saw your story, and it's not a bad song. It's catchy. And she's got a nice enough voice, you know?
It didn't go well at all. People, like, bullied me for, like, 13 hours straight. And then I got, like, followed, too. So I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Really? I mean, people really hate the TikTokers, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems as if they just get a lot of wrath. Which, I mean, some of it, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, some of it is very warranted. For what they have done, but at the same time, I just like the song. I just think the song is
exactly
super like catchy. It's
if something is catchy, it's catchy. It doesn't matter who made it.
It's so fun, and
yeah,
I'm gonna keep listening to it.
yeah, and I like that bit where it's like I can't remember that the lyrics, but it's like that little riff where it's like na na do. It's like, yeah, it is.
It's
you know what?
So fun.
This is our statement. We are saying it on the record. Obsessed by Addison Rae is good.
Yeah, we're canceled. There it goes.
Oh my God, we're so canceled. Yeah.
That's the end of the podcast.
Yeah, and it's funny because I watched the video of her on, was it Jimmy Fallon, doing the live performance, and I don't think it was live. I think it was lip synced because just it didn't sound live.
Yeah.
But people were talking about how bad it was. But the dancing was good. It's just that she wasn't singing live.
See,
which is a shame because it's like, why not?
The thing is, I feel like I can never like sort of ridicule or degrade people for their singing capabilities or dancing capabilities. I can't do either. I am a talker. First and foremost,
yes.
I cannot sing. If you ever hear me sing, it's going to be the world. So for all I know, she's like the best singer alive. How am I supposed to know? You know, I don't really.
Yeah, talk. I mean, exactly. It's funny because Madison and I were talking about this last week or the week before when I had her on, and she's a singer, Madison Brown. And she was talking about And she was talking about how she doesn't think Charlie or Dixie. She's not a fan of her voice. And I was saying, and she was talking about another creator who said this. I was saying, like, to me, if someone's in tune, that's a good singer to me.
Literally,
because I don't sing. If you're in tune, that's good enough to me. Whereas like she obviously is very technically knowledgeable. So
yeah,
it was just quite funny comparing, like, I think if you have an ear for that thing, but so you sometimes cringe your audience out, and that's healthy, you know. I think parasocial relationships can get quite unhealthy where people just think you're perfect, so if you're a bit cringy sometimes,
all the
you know
time.
It kind of keeps you grounded
all the time.
Yeah, exactly. But today's episode is very specific. Might be, apart from the episode I did on political lesbianism, might be the most specific episode, because today we are talking about an iconic TV show that has affected both of our lives immensely.
Yes, yes.
And the music is great, you know, the dun, dun, dun. Oh, yeah. It's Pretty Little Liars. Pretty Little Liars, Pretty Little Liars.
It is, quite frankly, the Riverdale before Riverdale. It is a cultural phenomenon.
You know, Pretty Little Liars trotted so Riverdale could gallop. You
awkwardly
know?
Run, yeah.
Yes. And honestly, I mean, I do think, even when Pretty Little Liars gets bad towards the end, I feel like its badness is still way better than how Riverdale has progressed or aged.
See, the thing is, I feel like Pretty Little Liars can be separated into like very distinct categories of badness. I feel like the first two or three seasons are possibly the best seasons of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Then you get to like season four, and then you get to season five, and you're like, oh, wow, it's getting worse.
It's a chore.
It's like...
How many? Are there five or six?
There's seven seasons.
There's seven? How did I forget? Oh, yeah, no, I remember season seven. Actually, this is a good moment to say that if you haven't watched the show and you are planning to and you don't want spoilers, just don't listen to this episode, because I want us to be free to talk about the dirty details.
Yeah.
I want us to speculate. I want us to share our theories. And... we can't do that without spoiling it. So,
obviously.
Yeah. This is your warning.
I have a lot of spoilers coming up.
Oh, gosh. Exactly. Oh, my God. Speaking of, Shania did some homework that I didn't even assign her. You're like the person who does extra credit when the teacher didn't ask you to.
Everyone in the class.
Do you want to tell us what you brought?
I brought with me, quite frankly, the pinnacle of trying too hard. I brought a PowerPoint presentation of who should have been A, the theories of why I think they are A, and just a good old fun little chat about the confirmed A's and what I think should have happened with the show.
Exactly. I mean, should we just get cracking? Do you want to just get it out?
Yes, let's just get to
it. Let's just do it.
I'm very excited.
I'm so excited.
I don't know how happy you guys are going to be with this, actually.
Oh, with your theory. Is it an unpopular theory?
It was popular, became super unpopular after.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, I don't think anything's going to be as unpopular as the ending. the last A.
Oh, yeah.
I think the first A made total sense.
Exactly. Okay. We are on the same page.
Okay, good, good.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, this is incredible. I pity anyone who's listening and not watching. Honestly, okay, so I'm going to try to be as descriptive as possible for the listeners. Shania's got up her PowerPoint, and it's Shan Spear's Guide to Catching A, and A is like the red scribble, like in the show.
Mm-hmm.
An obnoxious, is that, what's that meant? There's like a thing over it.
Does that work?
Yeah. An obnoxious presentation by yours truly.
Tell, like, by this setup alone that I was the most hated English major ever.
Oh, you studied English too. So did I.
Oh, that's really cool. I don't really meet much English majors, actually.
No, I mean, I think it's more common in the UK. Apparently in the US, it's like more looked down upon.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's like a useless degree, whereas in the UK, it's like pretty respected. You know, it's not being a doctor, but it's like, English is a good degree here.
In America, it's like, you're never going to get a job. You're going to die alone and poor, basically, is what they're saying.
I remember I
told my... my college advisor that I wanted to actually be an author. And they told me that I need to find something that's more realistic.
Oh, nice. Love that. I love how encouraging they are.
Yeah, now look at me. I'm an influencer. That's so much more realistic than...
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, right, shall we get to the first page? Well, this is the first page, but yes. The second slide, rather, not page.
We will proceed.
Page.
We will proceed.
I'm just so excited. I'm like...
Okay. I start off by talking about the three confirmed A's that are in the series. And yes. I titled this The Three Horsemen of the Plot Hole Apocalypse because all three of these A's have been ridiculed to some extent. I would say Mona is the least ridiculed, but Cece and Alex, oh boy. Everyone.
Cece's storyline has aged horribly as well.
Yeah.
Like, even though the show, when did the show finish? Was it 2015, 2016?
2017. Yeah.
It's not old. It's not old, which is why it's an absolute crime that there's already a reboot. Like,
yeah. What? I'm sorry. What?
There's going to be a reboot. There's going to be a reboot.
I
know. So upsetting. I think guess who's doing it?
Who's doing it?
Guess who's doing it? The showrunner of Riverdale.
Oh my god, it really is Riverdale before Riverdale. It's the new Riverdale.
It's all coming full circle.
I'm actually kind of excited to see what major train wreck they could possibly do.
I know. But anyway, sorry, you were talking about the A's. There's three A's.
God, my brain is just... like shut down.
You're still processing that.
Reboot. Okay. So the first A for season one and two was, of course, Mona Vanderwaal. She is the sassy, very dressy sort of prima donna of the series. She was Hannah's best friend. And I believe her reception was very high in regards. Like, people loved her reveal. However, people did have like a problem with her motivation. So as we all know, the A text began way before Mona and Hannah stopped really being close friends. That's why people have a sort of problem with the motivation. And the motivation, for those who may not remember, it was that Mona felt left out. She felt like Hannah was being friends with the other girls more than her. And I think she just also had a bit of leftover feelings for the whole Allie situation. You know, Mona was bullied.
Allie bullied her.
Yeah. She was bullied extensively throughout her high school years.
And we can talk about how Allie was ruined as a character, because she began as a sociopath, and it was like, they should have stuck with that. Don't try and redeem her.
Yes, exactly. Some characters, I would say, don't need redemptions.
No.
I love
Mona. Yeah, well, the thing with Mona, you're right, actually. I hadn't thought of that, but that is true, because the whole reason they become friends again is because they get these texts.
They
talk about, it's like at Ali's funeral, the first text. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know what? Now that you said that, I'm like, oh, no, maybe Mona as A isn't as great as I thought. But who else would it have been? Or are you going to say?
We will get to that. But I did hear this theory that maybe Mona started up with the A-Tex before they became friends again to try to keep them separated in a way, keep them scared so they don't form as a group again. And it kind of backfired in her face. That's why A began escalating in a way throughout seasons one and two. Like, it started off as like, oh, I'm going to tell this, I'm going to tell that. And then it became more like, if you don't do this, this will happen to you, you know, and sort of humiliating the girls, especially Hannah. Hannah was publicly humiliated countless times via Mona,
who was her best friend, saying, quote, oh my God, yeah, Hannah got it bad.
Very bad. Like, I actually just finished season two. I'm actually rewatching the series right now because it is just so good. I love seasons one and two, and I think also three, but we'll get into that. I'm actually rewatching, and I can't believe in my like adolescent mind, I never put Mona, like I never connected the dots between Mona and A. Like a lot of the occurrences that happened while Mona was around. And it's just very fun to go back and sort of see how they constructed that. Because I, for one, was like shocked when Mona was revealed. I don't know if you were sort of like...
Well, here's the thing. What did you watch it as it came out? Because I didn't. I watched it after, you know what I mean? Like, not when it had all come out, but I'd watched it like a year or two after the hype. So
I was like the biggest Pretty Little Liars fan when it came out. It came out in like 2010. So I was like 11. And I probably didn't watch it the exact time it aired, but I did fall into tandem with the airings. And it was just so, I literally wrote my first ever sort of book, and I put book in quotation marks because boy, it was like 11 or 12. And that's how you know something really like impacted you or resonated you as like, especially as a writer, that you like base your entire first creation off of it. It was horrible, but you know.
I love that though.
It's very cute in retrospect, but it makes me wonder, should I have been writing like about murder and
kidnapping? This is the thing. It's that's what was so great about seasons one and two of Pretty Little Liars and season one of Riverdale is that they had this like murder mystery thriller, which was for teens and, you know, preteens, and it was like like really gripping and really good, but like really suited that audience.
Yeah.
And then we'll obviously talk about it more, but like they seem to just stray away from that. And it's like, no, just like let it be what it is. Don't try and make it something that it's not. Like there's nothing wrong with being a teen show.
And I think a lot of it stems from, I would say, greed. A lot of showrunners just don't know when to stop.
No. Oh God, no.
Because I feel like Pretty Little Liars, it has a very clear ending in a way that you could just cut it off right after the first A reveal, realistically. You didn't have to keep going back and forth and finding all these different A's. They could have even extended the series in a way that they don't reveal Mona so suddenly, I would say.
It did feel weirdly sudden, actually. Like, it all unravels in that episode.
One episode, it unravels in one complete episode, whereas they could have extended it to make it feel more immersive. Well, there are sirens going on in the background.
That's all right. That's A.
They're on to me. They're on to me.
Yeah.
Marlene King is about to come get me.
Exactly. So shall we talk about A number two, who is CC Drake?
Yes.
Big A. Wait, sorry, let me look at the script. So original A, Big A, and Uber A. Incredible. Yes.
Big A.
We'll talk about that last. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm just loving the captions you've added. Incredible.
Okay.
So CC, the reason I say her storyline has aged badly is that this isn't a spoiler, because if you haven't left, even though I told you there's spoilers, you cannot complain. CC is trans, which, you know, great. Yeah. Trans representation.
Love representation.
No, it's really badly done because it's put in last minute and the timeline is fucked up, which is funny. Do you watch Friendly Space Ninja?
Yeah, I watched their Pretty Little Liars video, which I absolutely loved.
He breaks down how much they fucked that storyline, that timeline. But anyway, sorry, you talk about what your thoughts on CC as Big A.
Well, now I have to talk about the story. I don't know the details of the storyline, so I would highly recommend go watch Friendly Space Ninja because that video, it gave me so much life. Like, it broke down everything so well. But
the timeline was messed up. They got CC's age wrong. CC was meant to be
police officer wrong, like in the timeline. And it makes it feel very rushed. It makes it feel like they didn't know CC was going to be Big A. I have, you know, I'm getting there. I'm getting to that theory.
Yeah, of course.
It makes it feel like they didn't really plan it. And that is the sort of worst part of being a writer. Marlene King states that she knew CeCe was going to be Big A from the beginning of season three. I think she said she actually realized who Big A was going to be in season two before Mona was even revealed, which is interesting.
I also just don't believe Marlene King.
No.
Just, I don't know. Ever. Or any showrunners. It's like when the Gossip Girl showrunners were like, Dan was always Gossip Girl. Like, no, he wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he wasn't.
Kind of like J.K. Rowling and her very adamant sense of, oh, no, there is representation in the books. It's just, I didn't write it, but there is.
Yeah.
You know, it is.
Yeah.
And speaking of poor representation, I think a lot of people did have problems with CeCe being the only trans character and also being the ultimate villain in a way. It's very tricky to have this sort of representation, and I think Marlene King and the other producers were very excited to reveal CeCe as being a trans character and the villain. It does, I feel like, lead into very historic demonization of trans people.
Even though this was only a few years ago, and even today, trans representation on TV is so limited that when you do it, you've just got to be careful, right?
Yeah.
And to remind people of what that storyline is, please correct me if I'm wrong. It's very confusing. Basically, so CeCe is what, as a baby, was called Charles, who is they gave away because the baby hurt Allison.
Yes.
Is that what happened?
I believe
they gave
so.
The baby away, meant to be twin, either a twin of Jason or
CeCe was the daughter, I believe, of the twin sister of Allison's mom, or is that incorrect? No, CeCe is adopted, I think. I'm not
and
sure.
And was, oh my God, yeah. I can't even remember. It's so confusing because the thing is, I get it mixed up with the third A, who is, that is right.
I also get it mixed up a lot with the books in general too, because there were twins in the books too. So it's like,
yeah.
It's a roller coaster.
It really is. It really is. And they mess up CeCe's age. Mm-hmm. CeCe is supposed to have gone to UPenn and be maybe like 4 or 5 years older than Allison. Yeah. But then they show this flashback where CeCe is like a little kid only a few years ago.
Yeah.
So who would end up being younger than Allison.
They do have a very funny way of portraying flashbacks. Marlene King states that they're supposed to be subjective. You're not supposed to take everything you see as scripture, I guess. But at the same time, they also have this flashback of Toby and Allison, and they're supposed to be portraying children. But, you know, the actors who played Toby and Allison are very clearly late teens, early 20s. They're supposed to be playing like children, though, like not even just preteens. They're supposed to be playing like 8 years old or something like that.
And really? I've forgotten that one.
It's hilarious in a way. Yeah, it's supposed to be showing, because Toby's mom was killed at Radley, the mental institution, and she was supposedly killed while he was a child, apparently, supposedly. But in the flashback, you see Toby's mom coming into his bedroom and Allison is there, and Toby is visibly a teenager or early 20s. I would say they meant for him to be a teenager.
I was going to say, I think maybe they just forgot that he was meant to be a child, and not that they were trying to insult our intelligence and say that 30-year-old actor
they very much tried. I think Marlene King even said something about that flashback.
No.
And yeah, it's a mess.
It's messy. It's so messy.
And
yes,
another problem people have with CC being Big A is also her motivations, because in her first reveal as A, or Big A, that is, in her first reveal, she says that she did it because the other girl didn't love Allison enough. That feels weird to psychologically torture. And I think Cece was very much more violent than Mona was as A. So it's very interesting that Cece decided that she wanted to kill people because people didn't like Allison enough. And I mean, of course people didn't like Allison enough. Allison was a terrible person.
She's horrible. She's awful, which... Oh, God.
Funny.
I hate her arc. I hate her arc so much. They try and make her nice, and it's just like...
To be honest,
I don't think they ever should have brought her back.
Yes.
But I guess they wouldn't have been able to carry on post-Mona, so...
I think Friendly Space Ninja actually mentioned this in his video, that it would have been better for Allison to just remain this sort of ghost, you know, like, is she here?
I agree.
Is she haunting them, you know, in a way?
Yeah, and not confirmed.
Yeah, exactly. Not confirmed.
No, I agree with that.
Because I know in seasons 1 and 2, they play around a lot with Allison showing up, and they think that they're dreaming or hallucinating or drugged in some sort of way. And that was very fun. I thought, not knowing what really was going on, like, are they dreaming?
Exactly. And when you do find out that she was there, and it's like, okay, what the fuck was she doing the rest of the time?
Literally, like, why did she show up during...
Did she have a job? Like, how was she living?
You know what drives me the most just off the wall is after we find out Allison is actually alive, that makes everything else, when the girls would be like, well, who is A? Can you help us? We are fighting for our lives out here. Like, can you help us? And Allison would be like, no, I can't. Even though I know who A is, you know, I just can't help you.
Yeah.
What is that about?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay.
Incredible.
Let's move on to...
Yes. Uber A, the last...
The worst A reveal.
Oh, everyone, hands down.
Everyone hated this. Everyone. And I mean,
everyone. I feel like that was a strong consensus. You know what I mean? Like, there was very little disagreement on how much the fans hated that ending.
Yes. And that is Alex Drake, a.k.a. Twinser, a.k.a. Uber A. She was the confirmed A for season 7. And she is... Spencer's twin sister, hence
and Winsor. Not to mention, I think Troyan Belisario, is that her name, who plays Spencer, is like a really good actress. Like,
I think yes,
her acting is amazing, but her British accent, Christ on a bike, it is offensively bad.
I could never have like an opinion on that for various obvious reasons. But yeah, people hated that. I still, to this day, I see British Spencer slander on my timeline to this day. People hated that.
Yeah.
I think the actor who did play Spencer is just a phenomenal actress. Anyways, like, Spencer was my favorite character throughout the series. And in that way, it should have made this reveal so cool. But it didn't. I think it made it worse.
No.
It just didn't make sense. It was, and I think by that point, we were just fatigued by the just train wreck that the show had become since the beginning. You know, we were like very drained. We were like, okay, let's just get this over with. Let's just see.
Put us out of our misery.
Let's just see who it could possibly be. And then they say, oh, Spencer had a twin sister this whole time. We never met her, apparently, allegedly, but she's here.
And the funniest thing is the way it happens is her dad had an affair with Allison's mum, but this was not Allison's mum, her mum. Her mum is Allison's mum's twin, evil twin. He bumped into her thinking it was Allison's mum, but it was her evil twin. So he banged her got her pregnant with twins, and when they took Spencer, for some reason they only took Spencer and not both twins, even though they're both his children. Oh no, it's because he claims they didn't know. He claims that they only knew about Spencer, and it's like, I'm sorry, that's not how birth works.
It's not like he's like the world's best dad. He's not getting an award anytime soon.
Yeah,
he had Jason as well.
And oh my god, like, yeah, Jason. He was Jason's dad. That's it.
And it's like, this, everything in the series could have been avoided if people just learned to, like, you know,
use protection.
Yeah, use protection.
Don't have affairs.
Don't have affairs. Exactly. That is the absolute.
I'm sorry. Spencer's mum deserved so much better.
Yes. Exactly.
She was a MILF. She was a MILF. She was a lawyer. She was a good mum. Like, she wasn't powerful. Perfect. She made mistakes. But, like, out of all the parents, she was by far, like.
She definitely did try to protect Spencer, like, tooth and nail. Who was the worst parent, would you say? I think it's Arya's parents, but that's just me.
Oh, that's an interesting take. I was going to say Hannah's dad.
Oh, obviously. He's
an idiot. He says to her, I can't afford to send you to college because I'm paying for my stepdaughter's college. And here's the thing. I understand your stepchildren are your children, but, like, he just married her. Exactly. Like, they've been dating for, like, 2 years. If you'd raised the child from a young age, then, yeah, fair. But, like, you just married this lady.
He is the literally epitome of deadbeat dads. It's so, in a way, I loved that there was that sort of representation, even if it's like the worst representation ever.
True.
Even though it's like a bad thing, I think it's in a way cool or relatable, I would
realistic,
say. Realistic. Yeah, realistic to see like a parent who just absolutely could not care less about his daughter.
Yeah.
And that really dominated, I think, season one with Hannah.
So why do you think Arya's parents are the worst? I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, for starters, it has something to do with Ezra, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, really?
See, the thing is, I don't know if it was just bad writing or just they were bad parents. But when Ezra was first, when they first found out Arya and Ezra, who, by the way, for those who don't know, Arya was like 15 or 16 when she met Ezra, who is around 22 to 24. I'm not actually sure what his age was supposed to be, but he was her English teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He claims to have not known her age when they first.
Oh, yeah. That.
Yeah. Yeah. He claims to have not known her age when they first started dating. But even after finding out her age, he is still very much adamant about dating her. In his own words, he
pursuing
can't stay away from her.
Spoiler, he did know.
Yeah.
And he dated Ali when she was even younger. She could have only been like 14.
Yeah. So what do you call that, guys? That's a predator. All right.
Nonce in the UK.
And when Arya's parents found out, they were rightfully, you know, angry and distraught. But then they're like, oh, all right. I guess. Go ahead.
They don't go to the police.
Yeah, they don't.
And I understand. I've never been in that situation. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have kids, but like the fact that they just let it slide and like they don't ever report it or anything. Like even Ella goes on to work with Ezra.
Yeah.
It's just like, you do realize he could do that to like other kids. I understand it's your choice what to do with your child as the victim.
In
but,
which
like,
he has done with other kids.
Oh God. Yeah. Well, yes. So there we go.
There you go. And it really bothers me. I can't even like completely blame just the parents in that situation, because you know it is a show. So there are writers who have the choice to make Ella and Byron, you know, throw Ezra in jail. And I was watching Film Fatale's video. They recently did a video. Great channel. This is I'm not saying this because I am Film Fatale's friend. I'm just saying amazing channel. Anyways, They recently did a video where they say that the writers were doing this sort of technique in writing called lampshading, where the writers acknowledge that what they're doing or what they're portraying is wrong, but they do nothing about it. And I think they did dance around the fact that Ezra was a predator in the show a lot. They would make references to him going to jail, being fired. And it's like, well, if you know it's illegal, why do you still romanticize it, you know?
It's even, my favorite bit is when Arya has a boyfriend in season 7, so like years down the line, yeah. She's in her early 20s, and he says to Ezra, like, you know, you were her teacher, that's really inappropriate stuff. And mm-hmm. Ezra, like, the way Ezra responds is really, like, gross, and just, he's ugh. Like, oh, you're just jealous. And it's like, ugh. No, you're a nonce.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing
and
is,
she still doesn't see it like that, but that's understandable why she wouldn't.
Yeah,
Stockholm Syndrome.
She was a victim, you know?
Yeah.
And we can't really expect, we should expect more from Ezra, who is the one doing the, you know,
exactly,
damage.
Exactly.
But it's like, the writers are very adamant about portraying them as like this forbidden, sexy sort of relationship. And then when, you know, the whole book, Ezra writing a book thing comes out, and Arya finds out that he knew her already and that he was involved with Allison and that he's writing this book about the whole situation, she writes a police report to implicate Ezra for, in her yeah. words, taking advantage of her as a sophomore or junior. I think she was a sophomore.
Putting it lightly.
Taking advantage of her. And it's like, how do we come back from that?
Yeah, and she just doesn't turn it in because yeah. I think, is it Hannah who stops her? Hannah's yeah. like, oh, you might regret it. Mm-hmm. You're doing it because you're upset.
But no, I wish they didn't portray it like that. I wish they didn't. Yeah. I mean, it could be realistic. I was never in that situation. But I feel like they could have very much made it like a cautionary tale rather than something that's like something for us to consume and be happy with. Because I, for one, could not watch any of their scenes. Like, it just made something in me just like want to throw up. Like,
because it did romanticize it, like, especially their sex scenes.
Ugh, my God.
Obviously, they weren't like really, really sexual because it mm-hmm. was a teen show,
yeah, but
like
on TV
they did them in the same way that they did like Spencer and Toby's mm-hmm. and Hannah and Caleb's. Like, they were portrayed in the same way, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which implies that those relationships
are like level, you know, like equal.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I wouldn't expect much from the writers to implicate or sort of hold Ezra accountable, because a lot of the other girls were seeing older people as well. Spencer was seeing Ren, and there's just this scene burned into my mind about Spencer spending the night at Ren's house, and she falls asleep and she's late for school, and he comes in. He's like, oh, I was just at the hospital doing my rounds. She's like, oh, I'm late for high school. And it's like, oh God.
Bearing in mind, if he's already like doing placement, he's got to be like 3 or 4 years into his medical degree.
Oof.
At least. Or he was just a doctor. I don't think he even was like a student. I think he was just a doctor.
Yeah, I think
so. That takes 7 years.
They really played around with that one. Oh, and wow. Allison and Ezra and Allison and Ian. I'm not sure how old Ian was, but
Jenna and the cop.
Oh my God.
Garrett? Is it Garrett?
Yes.
Is that his name?
Yes.
Who is, I don't know if you know this, but he is the pop star in the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
What a role change.
I know, right? Incredible.
Oh my God.
But Alexandra Drake, it's bad. It's so bad.
Yeah.
And I think that, to steal another point from Friendly Space Ninja, he talks about how the problem is that it just came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the great thing about mysteries is that when the answer is hiding in plain sight, whereas this, it was like, first of all, the twin, evil twin thing is a cliche.
Yeah.
And secondly, it's like it wasn't earned. They didn't build up to it. They just, I think, couldn't think of anything else and just were like, yeah.
I think they wanted to do a sort of fan service moment because, not to say that everyone who watched the show read the books. I think I got through like two books of that series. It's like 16 plus books in that series.
Mm.
But in the original book series, there was an evil twin, you know? I think it was Allison's evil twin or something to that effect, where the evil twin tries to take over the twin's life. And that's exactly what Alex was trying to do in a way, but it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, that's a very big theme in Pretty Little Liars. The motives tend to not make sense.
I think that's it, isn't it?
And that very much makes the mystery, like, the payoff is just little to none.
Mm. No?
I think Alex's motive was that she grew up poor. She grew up in like seedy, risky situations, whereas Spencer got to live a life of luxury and happiness, and she had friends and a loving mom. I would say loving parents, but you know, a loving mom. And like, okay, that makes sense to an extent, but if you want to take over her life, why would you just go about it by torturing her and her friends? The friends that you want to have.
Why the friends?
Yeah, yeah. The friends, exactly. That's another thing. I feel like the writers, they don't put motives in like a big enough picture where it would make sense for the A to torture the friends as well. Because I feel like Cece's motive also had to do with how she was raised and how she was accepted by her family. So what does that have to do with the others who are part of her family?
It seems weird. A bunch of teenage girls just like...
Yeah, they're just vibing. I mean...
Yeah. You know, do you remember some of the very last moments of the show? I think the very last moment is where they do this loop. It's like a repeat. It's a bunch of different teenage girls and they recreate the opening scene.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's like, that makes no sense. Are you saying that this all happened? Like, no, shut up. but before that, if I'm correct, like Alexandra Drake and her mum, who is also Spencer's mum, so twin of Allison's mum, I always forget her name, something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They are in like a glass box or something, and Mona's there. She's like got them trapped. Is that right? Did I make that up?
No, you
am I having visions?
You did not dream that. It feels like it. Yeah, because it makes no sense. But Mona kidnaps Alex and I think the mom and keeps them in France forever. But it's like,
how long is that going to last?
Yeah, how does that work? How do they not escape? How do they not? Like,
especially because she's in the spin-off show,
Perfectionist.
Maybe it's answered in that. I haven't seen that.
Oh my god! Yeah, I don't know if it's answered in that, but that would be so funny if she's just like living her life.
Just in a box.
Yeah, we have no idea where Twinser or the mom is. It's just Mona's just living, you know. Good for her. Good for her.
Yeah. So are you going to tell us who you think it should have been?
But first,
honorable mentions, and the A is in a capital red A.
Yes.
Incredible.
The two characters who I feel like could have been A, but weren't allowed to be, I guess you could say, is Lucas and Jenna. If you guys remember, Lucas was heavily bullied by Allison and Mona and everyone.
Didn't she call him a hermaphrodite?
Yes, Hermie the hermaphrodite.
That's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
Charming.
Allison was just
a sociopath.
Yeah.
Piece of shit. I hate us.
She's such a sweet, loving girl. You know? she really treated everyone with respect. And it's really amazing, you know, how anyone hated her. I don't understand it. But Jenna as well, I think she could have been a fantastic A. I feel like Jenna was treated as sort of a red herring in the way
she also had motive.
Yeah, she had a gigantic,
they made the bitch
big,
blind.
Explosive motive, I guess you could say. She was blinded by Allison, and Allison's friends just sat back and watched.
Let her.
Yeah.
By the way, the way she was blinded, in case you forgot, they set a fire in Jenna's house. So from that fire, Jenna went blind, and they made Toby take the fall for it.
They made Toby take the fall.
That's
Toby
so
was also a victim as well, because Jenna was
massive.
Jenna was forcing herself upon him.
Yes.
And their step siblings, by the way.
Yeah.
That was a horrible thing. But I feel like these could have been very interesting A's. I think they were both on the A team, or at least Lucas at one point was on the A team. He never got his full sort of A moment. But let's get into who I think should have been A. This is the theory that I attached to as like in adolescence. I really love this theory.
The A is in red again, in case you're listening.
I was very adamant about this theory. I would search on Tumblr all the time about this theory. It was very popular on that platform. Let's get into it. I think A should have been, can I get a drum roll, please?
First A? First A, which A? Or does it not really matter?
It doesn't really matter, you know? I think...
Okay.
Well, let's say... No, I don't think it really matters.
Okay, cool. Sorry. Drum roll.
There's nothing I could really do about rewriting Pretty Little Liars. But I will say seasons 1 and 2 is when this theory was the most... it was the strongest in seasons 1 and 2. So people probably would have preferred her to be the first A. Okay.
Okay.
Don't end the podcast after I show this. All right. Aria Montgomery.
I've seen that said a lot. And even Lucy Hale, the actress who played her, thought she was. So tell us why. Go on.
Everyone hated Aria is a theorist on Tumblr. It was a very popular theory, but at the same time, people felt it was very... they felt like people were grasping for straws with this theory. And in a way, I can totally see it. I'll get into that. But I feel like there were a lot of coincidences and very strange connections that Aria had to A that could have been treated as sort of like a thing to confuse the audience, maybe, or even fan service. Because I do believe Marlene King, the writer of the show, did know that Aria was a big contender on like social media sites by the fans. So let's get into the theories. Aria is a theories, starting with the name. So, you know, Shakespeare once said, what is in a name? In Aria's name, that is hostility, that is bad vibes, that is just all around violence to me personally. So in season 2, there is a scene where Mona is like following after Aria in the hallways of school. She's like trying to catch up to her and she says, hey, big A, wait up. Now, this is the first time we hear the phrase big A on the show. And it also happens in season 2, the second episode of season 2, no less. Interestingly enough, Marlene King, the writer of the show, states that season 2 is when she figures out who she wants to be big A. So it's interesting that this is the first instance that we hear the phrase big A, and it's spoken by Mona, no less. I would say it could be just like a really funny little wave to the audience. But at this point, we don't know that there's a big A, you know? We don't know that there's going to be a different A other than Mona. So I
feel
like...
Do you think this was... Oh, sorry. No. I was just going to ask, do you think this was like Gossip Girl, where maybe at one point they thought Aria was A, but then because fans guessed it, they backed out?
That's a very popular theory as well. Who did they want to be A? Who did they want to be on Gossip Girl in?
Eric, Serena's little brother.
That actually...
But then a New York Post article guessed it.
See, I hate the fact that I feel like mysteries are supposed to be guessable, because if you're writing a very good mystery, of course people are going to guess it. It's because you're leaving the right clues and you're leaving a trail of breadcrumbs, so to speak.
Right.
And that just means you're really good at your job. And
exactly. Just let it be.
Yeah. A lot of writers don't like that. They don't like being good at their job. And, you know, that's fine. That's fine.
Especially the writers of Riverdale.
Okay, so there is another theory with the name. Aria has a habit of drawing her A's the same way A would do. She has a very overextended middle line inside of the A, sort of like the way A draws theirs. It's like an overextended middle line. And we can see that in a name tag that she's wearing, as well as when she's on the Halloween train, she writes her name on the window. And the last A of her name is very similar to the sort of iconic imagery of A. And then...
I am absolutely floored by this. I love this so much.
And then there is a scene where Aria even admits that she's A. I mean, okay, listen. it's very sort of trickery going on. Aria is trying to throw Hannah's mom off of their trail. She's trying to get Hannah's mom off of their case so Hannah's mom doesn't go to the police about A. Because by this point, Hannah's mom does know that A exists in a certain way. So yes. Aria... at the request of Mona, which is interesting, Aria, at the request of Mona, tells Hannah's mom she's A. She states, I'm A. A for anonymous, A for Aria. Very interesting. And about the big A thing that I mentioned at the beginning, Marlene King does say that the real A is hashtag big A. So, it is very interesting that Mona calls Aria Big A, and that is the first time, that is the first time we even hear that phrase. So, it's just really interesting. But anyways, moving on. Outfits. Aria is very much known for her outfits. I feel like Aria's sense of style was very eclectic in a way. But anyways, someone asks, who is going to be dressed up as the Black Swan? I believe it's also in the show where Spencer sees that A is supposed to be wearing a Black Swan costume to this masquerade ball. And this is also the episode that Mona is revealed. So take that with a grain of salt. It is said that A is going to be wearing a Black Swan costume. And Melissa, Spencer's biological sister, is indeed wearing a Black Swan costume, but it is later revealed that she was blackmailed into doing so by A. The only other person wearing a Black Swan outfit is Aria. And interesting enough, she's also wearing black leather gloves, which is very synonymous with A. You know,
yeah, you always see the shots of the gloves and yeah.
Aria is wearing, it's not the most well-known color scheme associated with Black Swan, but this is a poster for the movie. And she's wearing red and black, like the red and black imagery inside of the Black Swan poster. There's also a scene, I think it's an A scene, where we see A has this sort of dollhouse with these dolls in it. You know, A loves dolls. So does Aria, but you know, whatever. A loves dolls. And the Aria doll seems to be wearing a black hoodie. on her doll, which is another thing that is very synonymous with A.
Okay.
The last outfit theory. Someone asked for a clue on Twitter. Interestingly enough, a lot of the clues come from Twitter. I think Marlene King was just going at it on Twitter. She would just drop hint after hint after hint.
I heard about this, yeah.
She truly was J.K. Rowling before J.K. Rowling. But someone asked for a hint of who A is. And Marlene King, interestingly enough, tweets out 3 lightning bolts and 3 kissy face emojis. Arya has a habit of wearing lightning bolts and kissy faces on her outfits. She even has a folder with a kissy face as well. So, take that as you will. Take that as you will. Ooh. Is it a coincidence? Probably. Is it not? Probably. That's the best thing about Pretty Little Liars. Nothing makes sense, so anything goes.
Exactly. Oh my god, okay. I love this.
The last thing. Arya has... Actually, this is not the last thing, but we'll get to that. I know, I am unhinged, but I have been waiting for this moment my whole life.
Okay. I just have to stress how amazing this presentation is. So we've now, our connections is the slide, and you've gone all like that Charlie Day meme where he's got all the papers. There's like pictures with red circles, you circling things.
Amazing.
IM messages are up there.
Amazing.
Incredible.
Okay, so I titled this slide Connections because Arya has a very strange connection to things that A is doing. Now, in the first picture, I have a picture of Arya. She's wearing a black hoodie with white paint splatters across of it. Now, this isn't very typical of Arya to wear very quote-unquote lazy outfits, but this was after she had an argument with Ezra, so she thought that they were breaking up, you know, as she does throughout the entire series. It's about Ezra. Anyways.
That's her whole character. Yeah,
that's her whole entire character. So she's sulking, she's wearing a hoodie, it has white splatters, and in that same exact episode, the end screen, the infamous A end screen, is A is spray painting over the population sign of Rosewood, and they are painting over the population number with white paint. So a black hoodie and white paint. Both are
my goodness.
To Arya.
They're just too many coincidences.
Too many, right? Okay, the second picture is by the way, this is like all sourced from Tumblr. I got this mainly from Arya is A on Tumblr and Killer Arya is A on Tumblr.
Amazing.
And they found that Arya is holding up this magazine in season 1. She is showing it to Ibley, I believe. I really don't remember the context of this scene, but she's holding up a magazine. And in it, you see she's showing like a pair of shoes. There's a model. It's like a mauve sort of dark red background, and this is season 1, episode 19. In season 2, episode 6, there is a end screen with A, and A has that exact same magazine page open on their desk, and I think they're about to go buy the shoes as well, which is interesting that they have the same exact magazine. It is a season apart, but also the showrunners have said that the A end screens are like out of order. They're not necessarily side by side, I guess you could say.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. And the last picture I have on this slide is a picture of Arya checking her email. I have no idea what she's doing on her email, but she's checking her email. And in the side of the screen, you can see she has an email from someone named Harvey D. The subject is fence install, and the first 2 lines say, "I would like to go over the material options available for the fence project we have been discussing." That is season 5, episode 4. And if you guys remember, towards the end of season 5, episode 25, there is a reveal that A has kidnapped the girls and placed them in this elaborate fence in the middle of nowhere. They can't escape. It's a very large, rectangular, tall fencing project. And this is interesting because Arya is like, what, 17, 18? What is she doing with a fence? What does she need to do a fencing project for? Which is really interesting.
Amazing.
Coincidences.
You're convincing me. I feel like Arya should have been at A, right?
Yeah, yeah, you would think that. Okay, let's keep going. Okay, another theory I have is that this is a subjective theory. I titled this slide No Hard Feelings because I truly feel that Arya is not targeted by A in the same way that the other girls are.
Even she gets like later on she has a deal with A to get nice things happen and like for A to leave her alone and shit.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's really interesting. So you can argue that, yes, A sent a letter to Arya's mom about Arya's dad having an affair. But I would say that this, in a way, favors Arya because she no longer has to be the one to tell her mom that her dad is having an affair. And she also doesn't have to be the one to tell her. Therefore, her dad can't be mad at Arya.
Yeah, it's kind of the easiest way out for her.
Yeah, it's the easiest way out. You could also argue, well, A gives Hannah tickets to give to Arya's mom so that they can catch Arya with Ezra. That's interesting.
I think that was more to fuck with Hannah, though.
Yeah,
right?
That's exactly.
Again,
I think
it's all the psychological stuff Hannah gets. Like,
yeah, Hannah has to put her own family at odds with her friendship with Arya because I think A threatens to do something to Hannah's mom if she doesn't give Arya's mom the tickets.
Is it
or something
stealing
like that?
The money?
So she has to like choose friendship over family. Just,
am I right in thinking that her mum stole from the bank she worked at?
Yeah, she did. Mm. She stole money from like this client. The client dies. It's this big, big, big thing. And that didn't work. Hannah she gives her mom the tickets, but Hannah also feels incredibly guilty about it. So she gets Caleb to like unhook Arya's mom's car, so Arya's mom doesn't even get to go. Interestingly enough, Arya's mom and Arya's dad were in the midst of a separation at the time, and this causes Arya's parents to get back together as well, which I think is interesting because Arya's mom doesn't go to the museum to catch Arya. She instead spends the night with her husband, so they get back together. Interesting, interesting. You could also argue that A tries to get Ezra and Arya caught again using Arya's dad, because at this point, Ezra and Arya's relationship is known by the parents. And A gives Arya's dad a letter saying, hey, this is where your daughter is right now. She's at this restaurant. Like, just go check it out, you know? Arya's dad shows up, but interestingly enough, Arya decides for once in her life to put her relationship on the back burner for someone else. She cancels the date with Ezra that day and goes to watch her friend, like, go kickbox or something like that.
Which has never happened.
Arya, it is shown in the show that Arya is very hell-bent on saving her relationship with Ezra to the point where she's even willing to tell the dean of her dad's school that her dad was having an affair with a grad student, which would effectively ruin his career. She's very, very, very hell-bent on making sure she stays with Ezra. So it's just weird to me that the one time she's like, oh, well, we can reschedule. It's fine. Her dad doesn't catch her. And this makes Byron sort of realize, okay, maybe she is telling the truth. Maybe she isn't seeing Ezra anymore. And it kind of makes it seem like he can back off a little bit, sort of ease up, you know, on her relationship. Mm. Okay.
It all works out for Arya.
It always works out. And I believe A even does things for Arya, not even against her. A saves the relationship between Ezra and Arya when Ezra was being blackmailed by Noel Kahn. I don't know if you remember that. It was like very early in the season, I think season one. Ezra was being blackmailed by Noel Kahn, and Noel Kahn threatened to turn Ezra into the police. But
which I wish he did.
I wish he got the chance. Personally, I love Noel Kahn's character. I know they make him into like this.
Sure. He ends up decapitated.
They make him into like this really terrible person, but it's like he started out so good.
Yeah.
Anyways, A saves Arya's relationship. A tells Arya to get rid of Jackie, who is Ezra's ex, and that would also save.
I remember the dolls. She pulls the doll, and the doll's like, make Jackie go away.
Okay, and the funniest scene ever, I talked to my fiance about this. there's this end scene with A. A is spinning a bottle to see who to target next. A has like this elaborate circle of bottles, and on each bottle there's a face of one of the girls. And the bottle that A is spinning lands on Arya. But a second A reaches over and changes it to Spencer, effectively saving Arya from being targeted. Which I find interesting. And the last theory I have about that is A never tells or blackmails Arya when Arya cheats on her boyfriends, which she does a lot, by the way.
Yes. Well, what has she done? She got with Ezra's brother, who was much more age appropriate for her. I believe they were the same age. Imagine your brother like dating someone your age when you're a teenager.
It's disgusting.
Grim. But who else does she cheat on?
She cheats on Ezra with his brother, and I wouldn't say she cheated on Ezra with Jason, but Jason did kiss Arya.
So an emotional affair. It
wasn't as if A is above using that against people, things that they didn't even really do. So it's just.
And Jason was also too old for Arya.
Yes,
he was in college.
Indeed.
But bit less creepy than Ezra.
Oh, so everything I think is less creepy than Ezra.
True, yeah.
Because there's just this big power dynamic with Ezra that it of course could be manifested in a relationship with Jason, but Ezra is her actual teacher. You know, there's like this power dynamic where he can like dictate how her future goes in a way. And it's just interesting that the writers don't really talk about that.
No.
Then there's the book theory. I know I am so
I love it.
Deep inside this theory.
Attention to detail is good.
The book theory is basically saying that Ezra was writing a book about A and Allison and the entire Rosewood mystery, as you guys know. Arya finds out that Ezra is writing this book, and she rightfully feels used and betrayed, because not only does Ezra know, or not only did Ezra knew that she was a minor when he met her, but he was also with Allison, and that he's with Arya essentially to get this book out. It feels very manipulative and gross, to say the least. Arya reads the book and she proceeds to burn it. The thing that's interesting about Arya burning the book is that she is effectively burning evidence, because Ezra was a lot closer to figuring out who A was than the girls were. And I don't know about you, but if I was being like psychologically tortured and threatened every day of my life, I would want to know. I would want to know who it is.
Yeah.
she burns the book, and when she tells her friends, she says that Ezra thinks one of us did it. But she claims that she doesn't know who that is because she didn't read far enough to figure out who it is, which doesn't make any sense, like I said.
As if you wouldn't want to read the whole thing.
Yeah, it's quite Come literally on. About your life. It directly impacts you to read this book. I understand she was like heartbroken and just all around destroyed that someone she thought she could trust and someone who loved her, love in quotation marks, could do this to her. But at the same time, it's like, come on, Arya, you're ruining
also, it. Also, curiosity as well. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that a person wouldn't be curious enough to want to read every page.
Exactly, exactly. And the thing that's more interesting to me is she knows that Ezra thinks one of them did it. That's going to get my curiosity going. I'm going to be like, oh.
Yeah, which one? Do you not want to know?
Literally. Like, and the thing is, A is reading this like transcript of the book that Arya like threw it off of a ski lift or something, recovered it. Don't know how A got it. I'm actually not sure. But A is like,
so funny.
A is reading this transcript, and in the first paragraph, Ezra is just talking about how Allison is like lovable and admirable, but at the same time she's like so cold and cruel and just devious.
She is cold and cruel and devious.
That she is. And then the next paragraph it says, perhaps Arya knows this best. And it makes you wonder, what does Arya know best? That Allison is cold and cruel but lovable, or that Arya is the same as Allison? And she knows how to be lovable and cruel. Because if he's saying that Arya knows that Allison is lovable and cruel the best, doesn't that sort of imply that Arya was most affected by Allison? And does that give Arya a motive? Perhaps. Perhaps.
I mean, I think she, was love-stricken enough to... I don't know. Compared to the other motives, I think that is a more plausible motive, right?
Yes.
So, because some of the, as you say, like, some of the actual motives for the actual A's just didn't seem...
Yeah, it definitely wasn't fleshed out enough, no. I would say. But we'll get to the whole motive thing
What's
in a second.
What's the mirror theory?
The mirror theory was a very popular theory amongst Tumblr. Arya is A people. it was basically, I'm not going to spend too long on it because it gets a little convoluted, but it was basically the fact that Arya is shown to be in a lot of mirrors throughout the series, almost to the point where her character becomes like synonymous with mirrors. In the first scene of the first episode, in fact, the series starts with Arya looking into a mirror. And it's sometimes the camera focuses on her mirrored persona before it even focuses on her actual physical form. So people thought that was really interesting, especially because one of the producers says that whenever he uses a mirror, it's for a very intentional reason. But Arya is a theorist, sort of theorized that the whole mirror theory is that Arya is someone with a split personality or multiple personalities. Now, I had to write down notes because I'm not very well versed on multiple personalities and split personality. And I also do have a problem with only portraying mental illness when you're trying to sort of demonize someone.
Yeah.
But just so people can know, I got these notes from Smitha Bhandari. She is a board certified psychiatrist. And she says that multiple personality is now known as dissociative identity disorder, and it is the presence of two or more distinct personality states that may stem from trauma. Some possible symptoms are depersonalization, meaning you are detached from your body. There is derealization, which means that the world is not real to you. It may appear foggy or just out of focus. You have a failure to recall significant personal information or conversations, and there is identity confusion / identity alteration, meaning you don't know who you are. There is a host personality, and the host may not be aware that they have other personalities. So the mirror theory is basically saying that Aria has two different personalities. She has Aria, and she has the person who has taken over as A. And Aria has no idea that she is A. And that's a very popular theory among Tumblr. And you can even argue that some of the symptoms and some of the catalyst for dissociative identity disorder kind of show up in Aria's character. There are moments where she is unable to recall conversations she has had with other people, to the point where it feels weird that the writers are even focusing on that. And I have a problem with that mainly because I feel like there is no real reason that Aria would be A other than a mental illness. And that bothers me because you're basically saying that the mental illness is why she's this way. That's why she's violent. That's why she's stalking. That's why she is A. When I feel like a better writing can be found in just giving people actual reasoning, you know? That's motives. The one thing that I couldn't understand about Aria being A. What is her motive? What is her reason to torture her friends and herself, essentially? And there is no motive that the writers have given us that is. I mean, if we're being very real, none of the A's, except for Mona, I believe, have very concrete motives. But, you know, it just, it doesn't make sense to me when it comes to the motive. And that's why I ultimately got rid of my theory that Aria is A. Even through all the coincidences and sort of connections she has with A, I really didn't feel comfortable boiling all that down to, oh, well, she's just mentally ill, you know?
Yes.
Because that tends to just, it feeds into a long history of demonizing mental illnesses. So, who is my version of the best A, you may be asking?
That
is Mona. She has the motive. She has the motive. And I know in the series, they give her a mental illness. I think it's called adrenalized hyperreality disorder. But I think she has a clear motive outside of having a mental illness. They don't even have to add that in. She was bullied. She was basically left out of everything. And the moment she feels included, that's taken away from her. So she could have been sending threatening messages to Allison while Allison was still not disappeared. I guess I can't say when she was alive because she is alive, but you know, she could have been sending these threatening messages to Allison because Allison was bullying her. She could have left over resentment for the girls because the girls never helped her or stood up for her, or
they just let
Allison wreak havoc. And there are some clues that I think were really interesting while I was rewatching that really sells Mona being A. And the first one I thought was so funny was when Caleb was having the birthday party at Spencer's grandma's lodge or something like that.
Yes.
There's a scene where Lucas is taking Hannah out on a boat. There's like this whole thing where Hannah thinks Lucas is A or whatever. And yes. There's like this scene where the camera is in the water, sort of like beneath the boat, and it's like watching Hannah and Lucas in the boat. And I just thought that was a very interesting scene to show. But then when Hannah comes back ashore, Mona and Noel come into the crowd and they're dripping wet. They have towels over their bodies and they're like, oh, what did we miss? And Hannah's like, well, I was just traumatized. Where were you? And Mona's like, oh, well, I went skinny dipping with Noel. in the same lake that Lucas switched us in, and we saw this very interesting decision to have the camera almost at a swimmer's perspective, I thought was very cool. Okay. I give Marlene King and everyone that, but, you know, other than that.
After all the fuck-ups they did.
Yeah. There's also this part where Mona is hacking the school sports records for Emily, and then the school records somehow end up on Caleb's laptop as a way to frame him. A is trying to frame him and get him, you know, locked up. So I thought that was another interesting thing that
Mona's also smart enough to be A.
Yeah, she's very intelligent. She has, I think, the funds to sort of keep the game going in a way, because you have to be paying people off. You have to be like everywhere at once. It has to be very convoluted. But Mona, I think, is shown in the series to have the equivalent or even higher of Spencer's IQ. So she could definitely pull it off. And the last thing I had about that was just there was a scene where Hannah is in the car. By that point, they had like blocked A's number, so A couldn't text them anymore. And A dedicates a song to Hannah over the radio. And the radio host says that Hannah's best friend is dedicating the song to her. And Mona and Hannah were considered best friends at the time. So that is my theories.
Amazing. Is that the PowerPoint?
Yes, that is the...
Okay, round of applause. I'm not going to clap properly because that will hurt people's ears. Can we just appreciate the effort and the...
I'm unhinged.
No, you are absolutely... Oh my God, that was brilliant. Like, because honestly, I think when... I was one of those watchers of Pretty Little Lies where I'd watch it and I'd be like, that doesn't make sense. But I never really had like an alternative. And I think that's what makes it more fun to say, okay, it shouldn't have been this person, but you know who it could have been. Because then you can still like enjoy it and stuff.
That's what makes like these murder mysteries so fun. And it sucks that it becomes like this big ball of disappointment in a way. Because you become invested and you come up with all these theories, and then it's like, well, oh, the actual answer sucks. So I have to live with that for the rest of my life. That sucks. Whatever.
Can we also just go through what we think are some of the silliest moments on the show? Because you just reminded me of one. Can we talk about how dumb it was that Mona framed Ali for her murder?
Oh,
because Cece made her.
Oh my God.
And like her blood was all over the house.
That
it was her blood.
That traumatized me.
So much blood. I'm sorry. How would you get so much of your blood and not get ill?
Yeah, not die.
And they show that clip of her dead in the trunk with her eyes like, ooh. And you know what? That annoyed me because it was just like, either do it or don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't chicken out.
Exactly.
And this other bit later on where they're dragging Hannah's body and her eyes are open and she's like, ugh. And I'm like, I'm sorry, if you're being held hostage, you wouldn't pretend to be dead.
Exactly. I feel like the silliest thing to me was sort of like, the things that the writers did to seem very cool, I guess you could say, like with Maya's character. Maya, disappears. She is kidnapped.
They did her so dirty.
Yeah, they did Maya. I will never forgive them for that. I loved Maya's character.
Didn't they kill all the black characters?
They did all the black characters.
Toby had a lovely wife. Who, or fiance, sorry. Mm-hmm. And didn't she... like her death, like they got in a car crash and then she died eventually. A didn't have anything to do with that. That was just a coincidence, right?
The writers are just like, the writers are just like, no, we are not doing this. Nothing but
he has to end up with Spencer.
Obviously. I just think
sorry, you were saying.
Oh, well, you see, Maya is kidnapped by her stalker, right? It has nothing to do with A, I don't think.
No. What was his name?
Oh, I want to say
Landon.
Yeah, I wanted to say Landon. Okay.
No, that's someone in After, isn't it?
Oh my God. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know that. I have no idea what after is. I've never seen it in my life.
Yeah, I've never seen that in my life. I've never read it. I don't know who Landon is.
Yeah, sorry.
The guy who kidnaps her, right? So there is this whole storyline where Mona is in Radley and she tells Arya, you're a killer, not Ezra's wife. Or Miss Arya, you're a killer, not Ezra's wife. And this becomes like an acronym to say that Maya knew. But we were like, okay, so what did Maya know? Like, does it have anything to do with A? Why is Mona saying it? And it's just Marlene King was like, no, Maya knew her stalker was in town. And it's like,
why would Mona know that?
Why would Mona know it? Why would she tell Arya? Why would they make it into this like acronym for Arya being a killer?
Also, it's like that storyline with Maya was probably like the most realistic storyline in the show. Like women are killed every day by men that they reject. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And the way they just didn't treat it, it was just a throwaway thing. It was like, oh, let's just kill her off.
Yeah, they had to show in some way what happened to Maya because she can't just like disappear and never be seen again, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like they had a really big grudge against every Black character on that show.
They really did. Yeah. And then Emily shoots the guy, which, I mean, understandable because he's attacking her.
Mm-hmm.
But then they kill off Toby's fiance, who's perfectly nice.
They also.
That, again, nothing to do with A. They just wanted to get rid of
her. They also kill Shauna, who is another Black character. God. And it's like.
Yes. I forgot about her. And that was Jenna's girlfriend, or like she was in love with Jenna. I don't know if they were ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't Arya kill her?
Yeah.
Technically.
Arya kills
And then
her.
Arya's like, I feel bad for a while.
It's like, oh, episode's over. I'm done. Thanks for having me, guy. It's like, my grief is over now.
Yeah. It's and like, also, Shauna wasn't even evil in the end. She was just love-stricken and doing what Jenna told her.
Yeah.
Right?
This show is quite literally the bane of my existence, but it's just so good. I have to keep watching. Even though I already know the outcome, it's like I can't stop watching. It hurts a little bit.
Oh, God. You know, another moment which annoyed me is when Toby is temporarily A.
Okay. Keep in mind, I was young at the time. I was young at the time that Pretty Little Liars was airing. I wasn't even like out of high school yet. I was torn up by that. I was so sad. I treated it like it was happening to me. When he was revealed, I was like, this is the end of me. Like, it's over.
Yeah.
For me.
No, I mean, I love Toby. We all love Toby.
I love Toby so much. I mean,
yeah.
Isn't he also older, or am I reading into that too?
He is a couple years older.
And
he becomes a cop like in the space of a week, and I don't like cops.
I'm sorry. It's so funny. I can't. He becomes a cop. That's the end of Toby. Toby's
Can we
done.
Talk about that cursed moment in that Christmas episode where Paige, Toby, Caleb, and Ezra are stood on the staircase all in like Christmas underwear, like Santa boxes. And
imagine
Paige, like,
the horror that
standing next to Ezra.
Imagine the horror that those poor girls had to feel. It's like, oh, that's my old English professor, huh? He's the oldest one in the room right now, huh?
I'm sorry, that's your friend? Like, imagine your friend being like, Ezra, I'd be like, ugh.
He's not coming over my house. If I was Spencer,
no.
I would have barred him. Like,
also,
on.
Like, at parties, like, social gatherings and stuff, they're like, who is this older guy? Why is he here?
Like, don't you have a mortgage to go pay off? Like, come
yeah.
on.
Oh, dude.
I know he was, like, 22. I'm 22 right now. People tend to think that I'm, like, old. I think someone did.
Right, what? Because you're wise?
I don't know. I'm 22. And I got a message the other day. It was like, oh, you're so much like older than I thought you were. But the thing is, they thought I was 25. So they think I'm older than 25.
Where did they get this information from?
I don't know. I don't know if it's probably because I probably have a younger audience, but.
And also you're engaged. Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, like, that's probably why people think that. Also, I have.
They're not going to think you're 17. Like, yeah.
Yeah. People used to, but now I'm, you know, geriatric, but I do think it has to do with me being engaged as well. Cause I think I mentioned that I've known my fiance, or I've dated my fiance for like 6 years. And so people are like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, why? How do you know him that long? Aren't you like supposed to be young?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. What's another ridiculous moment on the show? I feel like there's so many, but what other ones curse you? What other ones are sort of haunting your dreams?
There are truly so much.
Oh, I know.
I guess you could say the most ridiculous part was Allison coming back and suddenly being like Mother Teresa.
Oh my God. Shania, when A implants Emily's eggs, fertilized by fucking, who's the dad again?
It was Allison's, like, fiance or something like that, I think.
Hello, this is Editing Tara with a correction. Not that it matters, because Pretty Little Liars just doesn't make sense. The baby that Allison gets pregnant with, so Emily's eggs, Allison's belly, Ren is the father, British Ren, because he dates Alexandra Drake, and she kills him and then turns his ashes into diamonds. Yep, I'm not making that up. That happened. You can rewatch it to check. Well, okay, implanting Emily's eggs into Allison, so she ends up pregnant, and then Emily and Allison, like, get together. And Emily's annoying, but, like, she does not deserve Allison. Like, she's nicer than that. Like, yes, Allison is exactly a piece of shit. Emily deserved better.
Allison treated her like absolute garbage when... And, okay, I guess you could say, in a way, it's like, well, maybe Allison wasn't comfortable with her own sexuality at the same time when she was younger. So whenever Emily would come on to her... And Allison would lead her on in a way, you could argue that.
Yeah, but not all the other terrible stuff she did.
Allison was just really a bad person.
She was just bad.
She was just a terrible person. And they should have...
She was just awful.
They should have kept her a terrible person. I think that would have been...
I agree.
So good, honestly.
If Allison was A, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe not, actually. But if she was, like, something evil...
Mm-hmm. I think it's fine to have, like... very questionably terrible, morally horrible characters. There's nothing wrong with having these terrible people, because they do.
I love villains.
Yeah, they exist in real life, and it's fine. You don't have to, like, redeem every single person ever. Like,
oh my God.
Let them be bad.
Remember when Ezra's ex-girlfriend from high school, Maggie, has a son and he thinks it's his, and then it just turns out not to be his, and it's like, well, that was a pointless storyline.
They just wanted to give Arya something new to do, because by that point they were on and off again for the 18th time. They were like, God, we gotta throw some spice in here.
I know. It was so pointless, though. It was just like, what? This added nothing, and it completely undid itself. And I think that was the issue with a lot of the pacing of the show, is that there would be a few banging episodes. Like the first two and like the last two would be really good, and they'd get all the plot in. Mm-hmm. But then in between, it was all this filler, and it was... Because I guess that's the contract they have. I suppose they have a number of episodes they need to make. But it's like, why not just like spread out the plot more? Yeah. Why not just like make it... It just seems weird.
That's a good point, because I feel like they could have spread out the first two seasons a little bit more and just have Mona be A. Like, no other A after that. Just Mona. That's it. Like,
yeah,
we wouldn't have to deal with the whole CC and Alex Drake horribleness. We could have just had Mona, and it would have been great. And I feel like it's like writers just don't want their shows to be great. They would rather be like payoff of having all of these episodes, and then the audience is like, oh my God, when is it over? Like,
yeah.
Because that, the way that Pretty Little Liars just went on for so long,
seven years,
is a
long... Same with Gossip Girl as well. Like, mm-hmm. lots of good shows just drag on and on and on.
They don't know when to.
It's about money. It's about, it's a bummer. It's a bummer.
And I mean, I understand. I know my videos, like, on YouTube are super long. And it's like, sometimes I get comments that are like, you could have ended this so much sooner. And I'm like, Well, yeah, but I like to talk, so.
Yeah, but also, that's, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like they can duck out, you know what I mean? With Pretty Little Lies, it's like, you're making me wait to find out who the murderer is. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Literally. They could have ended it. Season 2 could have been the absolute end. But I think we should have saw it coming because Mona somehow survived that fall off the cliff, and we should have saw it coming. And it's like, oh, we're going to be
and being murdered by Cece, and her blood is all over the house, and her poor mom has to go through all that grief. And it turns out she's not even dead.
No one dies.
My poor mom.
No one dies in Rosewood except for the black characters. You don't see them like
no. They've got to go.
Everyone dies but them. Or everyone doesn't die but them. It's insane. At the same time, I do feel like Pretty Little Liars was just a cultural touchstone. It's just something that...
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It's something that can never be done again, no matter how hard HBO tries.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's still iconic, even if the last few series aren't good. It's worth watching just for those first two or three seasons.
Yes, like, it really is.
They're so good. And like,
you could see they were trying.
Yeah.
It's like they
exactly
gave up after, I would say season 4, it's like they really gave up. They were like,
yeah.
I feel like Marlene King was trying to get the show off the air.
No matter
what she tried, they would not take that show off.
No, exactly. And you know, funnily enough, they didn't keep her on for The Perfectionists because her ending was so controversial and so disliked.
I don't want to laugh at that. It's kind of sad. Hilarious.
It is kind of funny. It's kind of sad as well. I feel bad for her, but then it's also like, I kind of understand because it's like, if she came up with an ending that made everyone hate the show and its legacy, you probably don't want to keep her on for the spinoff.
Just don't make the spinoff if you're asking me. But
well, yeah. They're making a reboot already, which I'm just, it pisses me off. It's just like, why?
We're never going to get rid of it.
No, and just let it be.
I, for one, I feel like reboots are like a tricky sort of subject because it's like, would I watch a Twilight reboot? Yeah, I would. I would. But it's like, should there be a Twilight reboot? Just because,
that's the problem, right? Like, yes, of course we'd watch it.
Yeah, just because there's an audience doesn't mean you have to make it, you know?
No. There's
times where you can end things. It's fine.
All good things come to an end unless you drag them out and then they stop being a good thing. And there you have it. Those are my final words.
There you
what
have
are your
it.
Last words on Pretty Little Liars? What would you want the takeaway of this whole thesis you offered us today?
Ezra should go to prison. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I love that. What a statute of limitations in Pennsylvania.
No, there really
is. Too late?
Even if the show is over, just make one more episode and the whole episode is Ezra just getting locked up. He's just getting locked up.
That's I feel it. Like the internet would be so happy.
They should be. I would be so happy. That would
make my year.
Literally. Like, hello, Pretty Little Liars writers, if you're watching this, if you are on the reboot, send Ezra to jail.
If it's in the same universe and they just mention like, oh, there was a teacher here called Mr. Fitz. Yeah, he's in prison now.
He's in prison for life.
I would applaud. Yes. I would be thrilled.
I would be grateful, actually. That's the only reason I would watch. So if you want money, writers, send Ezra
just make
to jail.
That. Yeah. I want to see him in that orange jumpsuit.
Yes. Hopefully.
Exactly. Oh, well, thank you so much for coming. It's been an absolute dream. And for the preparation and just everything, you absolutely knocked it out of the park.
I'm a try.
Never had a guess. You deserve A++, triple plus stars.
Yes.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Do you want to tell the people where they can find you?
Yes, my YouTube name is Shan Spear. You can find me on Instagram at shania.jpg. That's shania.jpg. I also have a Twitter. I don't use it. No point in following me there.
Same. Yeah. Oh, great. Well, thank you so much. Shall we do the bye-bye?
Yes,
now?
I've been waiting for this.
No. Yes. Okay. So if you just do it to your camera and I'll count us down.
Okay.
In 3, 2, 1. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye
now. Bye-bye.